You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, this is Dan Hansis alongside Chris Wessling.
Hey, Dan.
Mark Sessler and the boss, Greg Rosenthal. We're the Around the NFL podcast. Check us out three times a week as we discuss the latest NFL news as it happens. Always, of course, with a touch of mirth. Subscribe at NFL.com/podcasts, iTunes, and Stitcher.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky back in the studio after a couple weeks on the road, east-west in Tampa for a week. Then we were in Mobile, Alabama for a week for the Senior Bowl. Now we are back in the friendly confines of the studio here in Culver City. Buck, how you doing?
I'm good. A lot of football things going on. The All-Star game, we're beginning to see guys fill out all the roles. All the coaching hires should be about to be done. We saw the general manager roles. A lot of stuff going on.
All right, so the stuff we're going to touch on this episode here, we're going to have another episode that will come out in a day or so where we preview the Super Bowl. So if you're looking for Super Bowl talk, we'll have you covered on that on another episode. But I thought we'd kind of cover up some of the other things you mentioned that have taken place over the last week or so. A couple topics we need to hit here. John Lynch, definitely going to hit that. Chris
yes.
Ballard going
yes.
To the Colts as GM. Touch on what we saw down at the Senior Bowl. And then we'll get into a little bit about our scouting competition and update people on what's going on there. So for those that haven't seen, we do have a pretty cool scouting competition for you to participate in. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But, Buck, first of all, I mean, I think this is – you know, I got home from the Senior Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and, man, I was wiped. So I ended up taking a nap. Yeah, I guess it was this next day. Yeah, so I'm taking a nap, and then I woke up, and I had a zillion missed calls and messages, and I was like, something's going on. And then when I pushed the button on my phone, the little NFL alert showed up and said, John Lynch has just been hired as the GM of 49ers. I went, whoa.
I mean,
wow.
That's a big one. It's a big one. Now, I'm going to say this as a former player. I love when former players get an opportunity because some will say that sometimes there's a little stigma when it comes with players. So I certainly can appreciate John Lynch getting an opportunity to run an organization. That's something that a bunch of former players aspire to do. And I recognize that he's a Hall of Fame finalist. He has a 15-year career. He's won a Super Bowl. He has great pedigree, having played under Bill Walsh and Stanford. But the thing is, this job that he's stepping into, he doesn't have any front office experience. And you're talking about a plum job, one of the best jobs you can get when you think about the franchise history that the San Francisco 49ers have. And so when you don't have experience, the thing that I worry about is, will the job be too much for him? Unless he surrounds himself with a village of smart personnel guys that can kind of walk him through until he's ready. But it's just tough. It's just tough to kind of step into this job, not necessarily prepare for the rigors that go into building a franchise, let alone all the day-to-day responsibilities that the general manager has to deal with.
Now, we've seen some former players have a lot of success in this role. I was around Ozzie Newsome with the Baltimore Ravens. And the thing about Ozzie, though, he kind of came up through now. He was a scout.
In fact, when I was coming out of school in 1994, Ozzie, Mike Lombardi, and Bill Belichick came and worked me out a week before the draft. Ozzie was the one that put me through the workout. I think he was throwing me field hockey balls.
Nice.
Like he was throwing me different stuff. So, yes, Ozzie went through – probably would say the normal progression
training
to go up. And so without training, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I do think it's hard, and you do face a steeper learning curve because you haven't necessarily done some of the things from the bottom floor before you're in the penthouse.
And John Elway, of course, ran the arena team for a while and got the experience that comes along with that. But here's the thing. We talk about surrounding yourself with good people. He hired a guy we know really well in Adam Peters, who's sharp, coming from the Denver Broncos. Been with the New England Patriots. I think he was probably there.
Yeah, he started with the Patriots.
Then
he's with the Broncos. And so I'm sure they developed a relationship somewhere along the line during their time in Denver.
Yeah, so having Adam there as kind of a right-hand man is going to help him. So part of the deal is having good people around you. I think he'll do that. I think he'll get the right people around him. Here's what it all boils down to, because we can talk about former player, paid your dues, didn't pay your whatever. It's all going to come down to, can they get the quarterback right? Get the quarterback right. If they get the quarterback right, it's probably a good chance this is going to work out well because John Lynch is a smart dude. If they don't get the quarterback right, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. And this is what I'll say. And I know I talked about the lack of experience, but this is what I will say. When you've been around teams that have been successful, you know what it should look like. So I'm sure that he'll come and be able to kind of lay out the vision for how the team should be based on his experience in Tampa, under Tony Dungy and that crew, based on his experience in Denver, having watched that team kind of ascend and become a dominant team. And also in Stanford, when you talk about Bill Walsh, one of the greatest minds in football, he knows what it should look like. And so I know he understands what a player looks like or whatever. He just needs time to develop the experience and get the reps at doing some of the other stuff. Now, if he hires good people, he can be fine, because I think the bigger thing in all of these jobs, knowing what you can do and knowing what you don't know and what you need help with. And if he can find solid guys to help him in those weak areas, he absolutely can paint the picture and do some of those other things. It's just that we're not used to seeing someone come straight from the TV booth without experience to jumping kind of to that prime spot.
The one thing I would guess is true, and is that what people's perception of that job is from the outside and the work that goes into it is one thing. And when you get inside the building and find out all that goes into it, you realize there's a lot more than just sitting here and picking a couple players and saying what free agent I want to get.
It's a lot more, because what you want in some organizations, the general manager also has to deal with some of the business side, some of the things that come along with that aspect. So if they can make it where he is, in essence, the top personnel man, meaning that he's dealing strictly with personnel, team building, managing the coach, relationship, and those things, he can be fine. But it's going to be really important that Adam Peters and some of the other guys that are already in the building can kind of help him in terms of bringing him up to speed with the day-to-day operations, knowing the waiver wire, free agency, when do we talk to these things, how do we put in a claim, like so many little things. If he can get that part down, and he and Kyle Shanahan, the presumptive coach, if they can get together and kind of lay out the vision for how the team is going to be, they can be fine. The difference that he's stepping in that's different than what John Elway inherited. John Elway inherited a team that was already pretty rock solid. Like, he just kind of had to put the bells and whistles, and certainly he put his own fingerprint and impression on that team. This is a complete rebuild, because when you look at their roster, they don't have many crown jewels or many building blocks. So you're talking about a complete and extensive rebuild. I think that can be tough for two first-time people, because I thought of coaching there as well.
The interesting thing, though, is if you would have gone back 5 years ago and said, first-time head coach, first-time general manager, you're going to drop him right in the middle of the NFC West, you'd have said, no, 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 no. But now, when you look at it, look, the Rams,
everybody's not very good. Everybody's come back to
The Cardinals, you know, the quarterback, the head coach, and their best receiver probably aren't going to be there much longer.
Yep.
So that's a different deal. Obviously, and Seattle is still.
But it's still teetering on the brink, because yep, they kind of plateaued. And they have to make some changes to continue to be on the ascent, or they're going to come back to the pack as well.
Yeah, so I think they've got a shot there if they can get the quarterback thing done. I've written something on my Ask 5 this week is, you know, everybody's going to debate over the next few months where Deshaun Watson's going to go, how high he's going to go. So I said, forget that. I just reached out to five guys and said, where would the best fit be? Forget round, pick, whatever. Just if you could drop him into one place, what would be the best spot for him? Two of the five people said was Shanahan in San Francisco.
Ooh, okay. I would go another one. How about Andy Reid?
So that got a vote. So I got two votes for San Francisco. I got one vote for Kansas City. I got one vote for Houston. And I got one vote for Arizona.
I'm surprised at the Houston thing.
The Houston thing is everything is already in place. You know, you've got a great defense. You've got a good running back. You've got some receivers. He didn't have to do a whole lot there, was kind of the thinking there. The Kansas City thing one was interesting. It was a little more in-depth on the reply, was that, you know, look, they already do some of the RPO stuff. They already do some of the zone read stuff.
Because remember,
Andy Ault does all that.
Yeah, Chris Ault from the University of Nevada, who was a longtime coach, he actually coached Colin Kaepernick. He is there kind of in a senior advisor role. So they do have a lot of the college elements. The one thing that I worry about Shanahan's system and Deshaun Watson and any of those guys, it is real wordy. Mm-hmm. I mean, long, extended verbiage in the play calls. And so when you're one of those guys, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, coming in, you're used to dealing with these short, quick play calls so you can play with tempo. Does Shanahan change how he's customarily called plays to help a young quarterback, or does he just kind of throw it at him and put it on them to figure it out and get it done. Because I saw a recent interview with Matt Ryan. He talked about, look, man, these play calls, it took a while for me to kind of put it together. And this is a vet, a guy in his ninth year, who was talking about his struggles the first year under Shanahan. So now with a rookie with no NFL experience, we'll see if he can adapt and adjust.
It'll be interesting. Here's a question for you. If you're the Washington Redskins and they call, John Lynch calls, we'll give you the number 2 pick for Kirk Cousins.
I don't think the Redskins will make that move because I think they would hate. I would think there's probably some acrimony between Shanahan.
That they wouldn't do business together. Owner. Yeah.
But, man.
You got to roll with Colt McCoy or you got to pick somebody at 2.
Well, it also depends on what they really think about with Colt McCoy for a little bit. Because, remember, if we go back 2 years.
He looked like he was going to be the guy.
No, but
like, RG3 was. Remember, RG3 Kirk got benched.
Kirk got benched for Colt McCoy. So, it may depend on what they see. It also depends on what do they value in this draft. Because we talk about the primo players and what they need to get over the top. I mean, do they value a Myles Garrett? I mean, Myles Garrett would probably be gone.
I think it'll be gone.
It'd be gone. Like, who else at the top of the board would they value at number 2 that they believe could be a guy that could push them over the top?
Yeah, we saw them take a safety, you know, way back in the day with Sean Taylor.
Maybe that's
a direction they could go. Anyway, it's an interesting discussion there. All right, other hire that we had was in Indianapolis with Chris Ballard coming over from the Chiefs. And I've been around Chris, you know, a handful of times throughout the years. Always been really, really a nice dude. Has a reputation within the business as somebody that's a hard worker, that's a grinder, that treats people really well. Just a good dude. So from the outside looking in, and he's been a really, really good evaluator. So from the outside looking in, it looks like a pretty good hire here.
It looks like a pretty good hire. And he inherits a nice situation because there's a quarterback in place. So now, in his press conference, he talked about it's not all about the quarterback. And I think a lot of us recognize that it's not about the quarterback. But when you have that piece, it makes it a lot easier to build a team knowing how to build your offense around the quarterback. And so the thing that he certainly can take away from his time in Kansas City is looking at how Andy Reid has been able to build that team under John Dorsey. This is a team that is balanced. Say what you want to about Alex Smith. I personally think that Alex Smith is a pretty good quarterback. I still believe that you can win a title with Alex Smith. I think you have to have the other stuff around him, but he can win. If Ballard takes that same approach with Andrew Luck and attempts to find a way to alleviate some of the burden on the quarterback, I believe the Colts can do it. But I think they have to put a lot of time and a lot of attention to that defense because the defense will be the determining factor on whether they're able to go to the next level with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I think defensively is definitely where you focus in this draft. I think they got some money to spend in free agency.
They have some money,
well,
and so they have picks.
Yeah.
I mean, they have picks. I think they're sitting with the 18th pick maybe.
Yeah, I think they're 15 around there.
Somewhere in the middle of the round where they can go and get a pass rush because they need to address the pass rush. They need to address the back end, the secondary. They have to be a faster team to me when I look at them on defense because – you're playing in a dome. You need to be fast. I want that team to be fast. I want to be different. And depending on how the offense is constructed, I want a team that we talk about being able to play downhill, meaning we're playing with the lead, so I can put those guys out and we're chasing the quarterback and getting after it. So it'd be interesting to see what Ballard does.
All right, Senior Bowl, Buck. What was your overall impression from the Senior Bowl?
You know, the Senior Bowl was pretty intriguing. You know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, the classes weren't like the classes that we've seen in the past. However, if you went down there with a plan on what you wanted to see, I think you certainly could see it. Naturally, being a former wide receiver and defensive back, I kind of stayed on the periphery early. And obviously the dude that was talked about, and I heard you guys on the telecast talk about it, Cooper Kupp, Zay Jones. Mm-hmm. They were two guys that stood out to me, two guys that made a bunch of money, two guys that were really, really impressive throughout the week. And both had questions coming in as far as how good are they really when you got a chance to see them versus the elites. And I would say that both guys were impressive. Cooper Kupp, to me, tough, hands, route running. He had crafty and savviness that leads me to believe that he would be a nice number 2 receiver. I wouldn't necessarily put him in the number 1 role, but I think he'd be a nice number 2. Zay Jones, nice route runner. I thought he was a bit of an acrobat in terms of his ability to make catches and work his feet in bounds, and then he had great hands. Those two guys, to me, came out and probably made the most money in terms of their draft stock coming out to Senior Bowl based on how they performed versus what the expectations were.
I mean, some of these guys you draft and you've got to have a developmental game plan. These guys, those two players, you draft them, you hand them the playbook and say, practice is at 10 o'clock. See you there. They're ready to go. They're very polished kids. I thought overall defensive back group was impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you get Rasul Douglas from West Virginia, 6 foot
nice.
Two corner, did a nice job up in press. Obi Melanfamu from Connecticut, 6'4", 219.
I'm glad you could pronounce that.
They let him do play some corner one-on-one stuff. He was awesome. He did fine. He didn't skip a beat. With a 6'4" corner that can cover like that, you can do a lot of things with him.
Hey, long range. I think that's the thing that I came away with the week. A lot of versatility in the defensive back group. Guys that could play multiple
Cam
spots.
Cam Sutton from Tennessee played safety, outside corner, played inside the nickel. Did a great job.
He was absolutely did a great job. He was Swiss Army knife in the back end. He was able to do it. Josh Johnson from Boston College was the guy you talk about, the UConn kid being able to bounce around and play multiple spots. Josh Johnson was able to do it, and he was smooth. He was fluid. Tre'Davious White, who didn't play in the game but showed up early in the practice, he was versatile. He did some of those things. So – as I'm building that,
and then Jordan Lewis from Michigan, nice job. He's going to be a great nickel. He's going to be a great matchup.
Nice nickel has a nice feel for jumping and playing those underneath routes, particularly in the slot. There are a lot of DBs that were there that you could say, oh, I can see that. Even look, this guy's a polarizing prospect on the outside, but DeMonte KZ.
Oh yeah, yeah, from San Diego State. KZ, he did a nice job.
A lot of people were down on him before, but what I saw, I liked, and I think he has some balls because yes, he has some limitations with the speed. But
he did a great job.
Yes,
I clipped off a bunch of plays from practice. I'll text them to you, but yeah, just ridiculous. He was getting locking people up at the line of scrimmage.
Good job.
So it's a good group of secondary players. We talked about a couple of those receivers. The tight end group, OJ Howard was great. I thought Evan Engram really helped himself with the week that he had. I was a little bit disappointed that Gerald Everett got hurt. He only practiced the first day, then he was out for the rest of the week, tried to play in the game. He didn't really do anything. Interesting case with him. I was talking to some scouts, Buck, that said, I said, man, I love this dude on tape. Then I come to the combine, or I come to the Senior Bowl, he weighs 227. They're like, I was in there in the middle of the season, he weighed 244. So somebody got in his ear and told him, oh, you need to run fast. No. He was fast on tape at 244 pounds. He shows up at 227.
I don't know why we show up at 220. That's a bad move. So
that's
bad advice.
And another one that lost weight, too, though, was Kareem Hunt, the running back from Toledo, who played in the high 220s. He showed up at 208. Had a great week, but you'd like to see him. I'd like to see him carry a little bit more weight.
I want to see him thicker. The tight end group was very interesting. Evan Engram is everything that we thought about. Like, he's that natural route runner. We talked about these Jordan Reed types that would have an opportunity to come and kind of be matchup nightmares on the perimeter. Evan Engram is one of those guys. I still think Gerald Everett was impressive. The size is a concern if he only is going to weigh 225 pounds.
He's got to get that up.
OJ Howard, to me, showed far more of a complete and refined game than maybe we could see on tape at Alabama. His ability to block, he could run the routes, he caught the ball well. It'd be interesting when we have
that
debate.
I think he's one of the safest picks in the draft.
Well, I think you just kind of know what you get.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that in the first round to know exactly what I'm getting, how I'm going to plug him in and play him.
No question. The guy that maybe helped himself the most aside from those two receivers, I would say, was Hassan Reddick from Temple, the linebacker, who played outside, played on the line. Kicked inside this week for the whole week, and he did a little bit outside rush as well, but inside, Buck, covering in the one-on-ones was great. They couldn't block him in the one-on-one.
Had some thump to him, too.
He's got some thump. He's instinctive. A lot of times you take a guy that's been on the line of scrimmage and you stack him inside the box, they struggle to sort through all the trash to see everything. It gets real busy and messy in there, and he just picked it right up.
Last player that I remember being able to do that, there have been two actually, Teddy Bruschi, being able to go from being a guy who had his hand in the dirt to being able to play inside, did that in New England when Bill Parcells got there. And then if you think about Lawrence Timmons for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Lawrence Timmons Florida was State. Like an outside edge rusher that they moved to Mike linebacker, inside linebacker. It's a different world being inside with so much stuff going on, but if you can get it, it gives you kind of a stout force in there. Reddick showed that he can kind of play in there and be a factor.
Yeah, no, he had a great week, did a nice job. Any other thoughts from the Senior Bowl, Buck?
Matt Days, running back from NC State.
He did a nice job.
He was someone coming out. I didn't know how good he was. I know people had talked about him being a sleeper. He could run around, catch the ball out the backfield. I was most impressed with his blocking, how physical he was, and pass pro. To me, he was by far the most ready to come in and be a pass protector in those critical situations. And then up front, Montavious Adams.
Montavious Adams had a nice week from Auburn.
Man, big. moving people, but has some quickness that you don't expect to see from a big guy. I don't know what kind of premium you place on like a nose tackle, but in terms of being able to own the line of scrimmage, own the point of attack, Adam showed that he could do that.
Passanio from Villanova, too, 6'7". So just under 6'7", 280 pounds. He had a nice job, did a nice had some nice work out there on the field. So a bunch of other guys. We'll have plenty of time as we get towards the draft to dig into all these guys, and we'll start trying to match up some of these players with, you know, how they stack up on a board and as well as what teams they could potentially fit with. Producer Arjuna, do we have are we getting any luck on potentially being able to show some college footage in here at all? Maybe it was just TV copy.
We're working on it. It's a process, but we'll get there.
Golly, you're such a Patriot fan. It's a process, sure. It's a process. You know, it's all about the process. Good luck to your boys this
just
week.
Just trying to make the team better.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, just do your job, man.
Do your job.
Arjun, why don't you break down this scouting competition that we've got going on. We launched a little video. You guys can check that out. The website is NFL.com/scouting competition, but why don't you kind of go through the details real quick.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys get a hit up on Twitter all the time about, you know, what you need to do to become a scout, and we have this competition where you can email us at movethesticks@nfl.com, a scouting report that's about 300 words or shorter describing your favorite current NFL player on their 2016 NFL season. We've already got a bunch of submissions, but we'd love to get a bunch more. You have to be 18 years or older to send it in, and a resident of the 50 United States or the District of Columbia. There's no purchase necessary, and the grand prize for the two finalists / winners we choose is a year subscription to NFL Game Pass.
So, why don't you explain though also, because people, we've already got I think 50 plus reports in already that me and Bucky are going to read through, and we're going to pull out our top five. Once we get our top five, then the way we're going to do this is are we allowed to divulge what we're doing?
Yeah, so our five finalists will get to come on to the show via phone or Skype. Hopefully Skype for sure, at a later date, and then you guys will kind of interview them. You know, talk to them about why they're interested in scouting, go over their scouting report with them, and then you're going to assign them a little bit of homework.
Yeah, they're all going to get the same player.
Same player. To break down, we'll give those five finalists a shorter subscription to NFL Game Pass to use the All-22 that's available on there to properly break down these players.
And look, some people are saying, you know, the only negative feedback that I've gotten on this competition said, wow, man, it's a lot of work and it's a year subscription to Game Pass. Maybe that's not the best prize. Well, first of all, it gives you an opportunity to watch all 22 for free, which is how you develop yourself as a scout. But second of all, if you impress through this process, Bucky and I know a lot of people. We're connected to a lot of people. So, you know, hey, this could be a good opportunity. They always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. So do well in this competition and be impressive. And who knows, maybe this could start your own little scouting career here. If nothing else, it's a good exercise for you if you're interested in the profession. We've got, again, I'm looking through some of these reports that we have right now. We've already got them printed out. Guys are doing a great job. So hopefully we get some more candidates in here, and we will do our best to find the five best. So, again, you can go check that out, NFL.com/scouting competition, for more of the details. But it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it, Buck.
This is a lot of fun. I'm looking at some of these reports, man. Some of these guys really
in-depth.
Really in-depth. I like some of this stuff. It'd be fun to go to. I have some late-night reading material.
Yeah, no, I got to read these on the airplane here in a couple days. But anyways, that's going to do it for us here. Again, be sure to check out a little bit later on the week. We'll have our Super Bowl preview podcast, and we also have a couple of videos that'll go up talking about how to slow down Matt Ryan and Tom Brady, as well as breaking down the Super Bowl rosters of both teams and who we think is more talented overall. All right, that's going to do it for us today here at Move the Sticks. Thank you guys for sticking with us. We will be back in a couple days with another episode. Be sure to check out all of our video content again on the YouTube, NFL YouTube channel. Just pump in Move the Sticks, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.